You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. Ali will be replaced by Steve Nicol a little later on in the show. I'll be reflecting on Liverpool's victory, plus Rafa Benitez's sacking. But we'll kick things off in Saudi Arabia, the final of the Spanish Super Cup as Athletic Club took on Real Madrid. Athletic Club, of course, looking to defend their title, booking a place in the final thanks to that late winner against Atletico Madrid. And they'd have a chance early on. Well, they thought they maybe should have had a penalty early on, Ali.
Strong run from Sanse, good movement of the ball from Iñaki Williams, misses a shot, and then the sliding challenge from David Alaba. The reason it's not a penalty is because this is a natural position for the arm as he's bracing his fall and making the sliding challenge.
7 minutes to go in the first half, and it would be Real Madrid who would draw first blood. Lovely play between Luka Modric and Rodrigo.
Rodrigo does really well in driving at the defenders, attracting attention away from Luka Modric, who holds up his run, opens up that passing lane, and then the finish. Body position is perfect. The execution is classy from Luka Modric, and Unai Simon, no chance.
Real Madrid then with the advantage going into half-time, and then just 4 minutes after the break, they're eventually awarded a penalty. Not given initially. The referee told to go and look at the monitor, and it's given for handball.
A letter of the law, I get it. It is a handball, and it's an unnatural position for Yeray Álvarez. However, I don't quite really care for the idea that we're rewarding Karim Benzema for a total mishit from his right foot onto his standing leg up until the arm of Yeray Álvarez. However, Benzema doesn't care what I think. He's just going to put it away regardless.
Who does? Nothing. Who does that?
Well, nobody, really. I'm being subbed out very quickly.
86 minutes into the match, and Athletic Club finally get a breakthrough. Militao with a handball, again not initially given. The referee goes to the monitor and the spot kick's awarded.
Once you see the replay and the arm is far and away from the body of Eder Militao, not only is it a handball, it's also a red card because that ball is going into the back of the net. Marcelo is upset, Militao is upset as well. Don't worry about it, guys. Raul Garcia is going to take care of this. Ah, no! My man! Thibaut Courtois with that long leg, extended left leg, trailing leg, makes a save. And whatever hope Athletic Club had, well, that hope is now dead.
So it is Real Madrid who win the Spanish Super Cup by 2-0. And it's interesting there, looking at expected goals, Athletic Club had more.
Yeah, and it was an odd game from Real Madrid perspective in the sense that once they scored the first goal, then they went back to sort of the same things that they were doing against Barcelona. Say Athletic Club, you have the ball.
Yeah.
You have possession. We'll be happy to go on the counter. The difference was that between this game and what they did against Barcelona is that when there were opportunities to counter against Athletic Club, they did not complete that first pass out of pressure. And so Athletic Club actually grew into the game, and that's where those expected goals come from. The fact that in the second half, Athletic Club said, you know what, we have nothing to lose, we're going to get after you, we're going to challenge you, and they did create a couple of opportunities.
It was all about quality, though, in the end, wasn't it?
Yes, and that is obviously the big question for Athletic Club. For all the pressure and all the good things that they do, for all the work and the running in behind, all that hard work that they put in, when it comes down to it, who's executing for you in those key areas? And so Iñaki Williams, he does a lot of great work. That final product is not quite there. Whereas what you see from Real Madrid and Luka Modric in the execution of that goal, first time that they really got in transition in that first half, Rodrigo gets after the defenders, attracts attention to himself, lays it off to Luka Modric, and once he gets the body position right and you see the execution, you see the perfection of Luka Modric, you compare that and contrast it to whatever Athletic Club was doing in the final third, and there's no level of comparison. Luka Modric with a great finish puts Real Madrid ahead, and then he makes it very difficult for Athletic Club to come back.
Penalties. Handballs. Three appeals, two of them given. Let's go chronologically through them all, shall we? Starting off with the early one, David Alaba clearly hits it with his hand. There's no question about that. As you say, is it in a natural position?
He is making a sliding challenge, and as he's bracing his fall with the sliding challenge, with his arm, he makes contact with the ball. That is not a penalty and a handball, given the fact that this is a natural body position, a natural position for the arm to be in. So as he's making that challenge, he's bracing that fall, there's nowhere else for his arm to go. The underreported part of this is that it was a great counterattack for Sunset, a good ball for Iñaki Williams, and Iñaki Williams has an opportunity to actually finish the chance. He whiffs on it, and then the handball happens. Not a penalty for me.
Speaking of whiffing on it, that's what Benzema pretty much did, didn't he? For the penalty that was awarded just in the second half. It's a mishmash of a shot, but in the end, rules are rules.
The letter of the law, this is a penalty, but in terms of the spirit of the law, I just don't like the fact that you are rewarding Karim Benzema for hitting a shot that goes off of his standing leg up until the arm of Gerai, and then you get yourself a penalty. Now, letter of the law, the arm is out here, hits it, it's a handball, it's a penalty. But man, when it goes from your leg, right foot, to your standing leg, and then up to the arm of Gerai, there's something wrong about that in terms of what is Gerai supposed to do. Well, at that point, how is he going to react to a clear miss hit from Benzema? Now we reward Benzema for a miss hit, and in the end, he doesn't care. He puts it away. Letter of the law, penalty. For me, the spirit of the law, not quite the way it should be.
That then made it 2-0. As we said, late on, Athletic Club with a chance to get themselves back into the game. The referee, once again, didn't award this initially. Was sent over to the monitor. Right decision?
It is the right decision. And Militao, see how he's jumping with his arms out? And that's part of the problem. Once you have your arms out and you, by making contact with this ball, keep the ball from going into the back of the net, then there is no other option for the referee than to give the penalty and also give you a red card as well. So I think that was a correct decision. Once he went into the monitor, he saw it. He saw what we saw. Arms are out here. It's a handball. It's a penalty. It's a red card.
Who was Real Madrid's best player today?
Luka Modric. And he is so good at when things are just breaking down everywhere and people are just running at a different pace. He is the one that can see the whole picture and can break through lines of pressure, can find the next pass. And he has been doing this for Real Madrid for years. But in particular, over the last couple of months, there has been a quality to his game that I don't think Real Madrid was expecting at this point in his career. I think Real Madrid and Real Madrid fans are surprised as to how good Luka Modric has been this year.
Yep.
It was supposed to be a year of transition for Luka Modric where, you know, maybe this is getting closer to the end. It's going to be great to have Luka Modric and what have you. But he's not going to be a key contributor for us. In fact, there were moments in which Luka Modric had been in the bench last season, in which he wasn't a regular starter. Man, he has come around this season, and he continues to play at a tremendously high level, and he is that different guy in the midfield that is able to see the whole picture while everybody else is freaking out.
You just feel that he's had the opportunity to recharge.
Yes. Yes, and you see it in how lively he is with his game and the decision-making and the ability to get the ball. The movements ahead of him are happening. He already has an idea as to what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and when he wants to do it. He's so very good at controlling the pace of the game. And those so many good things for Real Madrid that perhaps go unnoticed when you think about Vinicius, you think about Benzema. But through that midfield, when you think about who the real genius is,
yeah,
has to be Luka Modric.
Picking up the Man of the Match award there, you can just see as the ceremony continues there in Saudi Arabia. They've got to give him a new contract.
They have to, but it's one of those where, like, this is going to be a year-to-year sort of thing, because if you're Real Madrid, you cannot bank on Luka Modric to continue to do this time and time again. But the more you watch him play, the more you say, all right, well, yeah, at least for another year, he's going to have to be part of this because he is critical to the success of our club.
Who's around that could replace him?
Well, you can't just go out in the world and find another Luka Modric.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yes, and sometimes I think of Luka Modric as a player that may not be nearly as appreciated as he should be, and as good as he has been, and as incredibly productive as he has been. You think of Real Madrid, and the names that come is Karim Benzema.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be Cristiano, and Vinicius now. And Luka Modric just consistently puts performance after performance. And we go back to El Clásico back in October, and how he was running that midfield. And coming into that match, you think, well, it's the youth of Barcelona. And then Luka Modric saying, okay, I'll see your youth. Wait a minute. Just watch me play and watch the things that I do and how I do and how good not only is he offensively, but how much work he also does defensively for this team, and the calmness and the confidence with which he plays. Picture this. You're a right back, you're a center back for Real Madrid, and you're trying to find an outlet. And you give the ball to Luka Modric, you don't have to worry about anything else.
Right.
Job is done.
Yeah.
You've done your job because you know he's going to find an answer for you. It simplifies your game, and it simplifies the game for the players around him as well.
Meanwhile, for Carlo Ancelotti, yet another trophy to add to his collection. Ancelotti has come in, Ali, and the way that he goes about his business is so quiet, is almost unnoticed, but clearly it's effective.
And he came at the perfect moment that a personality like his was needed for Real Madrid. Given the changes and the absences, and Sergio Ramos no longer part of the picture, and Varane is gone, and you're not getting what you want out of Eden Hazard and Gareth Bale, and there was a little bit of uncertainty as to what Real Madrid were going to be this season, and you needed somebody to have a plan in place and have a common influence. And that is exactly what Carlo Ancelotti is. He has a plan in place. He's going to execute that plan. He's going to trust his players to execute that plan. And you see that the players respond to him. They gravitate towards him because I think he gives them the freedom to express who they are on the field within a structure and within a plan and an objective. And that common influence from Carlo Ancelotti, it is clearly appreciated by the players, and it provides the group with a platform that they now can perform and get the results that they're able to get because of the quality that they have on the field. He's given them not only that common influence, but a consistency of thought, consistency of ideas, and of course, when you have that and then you have the quality of players that you have in the attacking half, then it's not a surprise that Real Madrid is winning Supercopa de España and potentially will win La Liga as well.
Let's get more reaction then, shall we, to that victory for Real Madrid as we welcome in former Real Madrid player Steve McManaman. Joins us after calling that game in the UK. Maka, overall, we talked about this with Ali. It was just a little bit of quality that was the difference between the two sides.
Yes, I think so. Danny, the first goal was a lovely goal, wasn't it? Modric to Rodrigo showing his pace, then he lays it off to Modric, and the goal was really nice. I thought the second goal, the penalty, I thought they were very fortunate, Real Madrid. I didn't like the decision by the referee, but it was given. And Benzema does what Benzema has always done, scores a goal, 24 this season. And the fact that he scored as many now as Athletic Club de Bilbao, I think that shows you their failings. I thought Raul Garcia did well when he came on, forced the issue a little bit, looked dangerous. But they always looked as if they could step it up a gear, Real Madrid, and break away and score. And they were comfortable enough winners of the trophy this evening.
What didn't you like about the penalty that was awarded to Real Madrid?
I just didn't think it was a penalty, Dan, to be very honest. I think when you freeze it at VAR and you see the ball striking his hand, but I think the defender has to dive across and try and make a block. The fact that it bounces up, the ball probably wouldn't have even reached Unai Simón from Benzema's shot because it hits his trailing leg and just pops in the air. And I just wasn't comfortable with them giving him a penalty and therefore taking the game away from Athletic Club for the second goal.
Is that it? Macron, I'm told that's it. Two questions is our limit with you.
Is that it, mate? I'm here all day. I'm here all day. I've stayed on to speak to you. Is that it?
Hey, I don't know more. You're just telling me that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my word. I want to stay all night.
That is a very much a first, Stephen Manham. No. Mate, overall, though, this is the first of many you feel for Real Madrid this season, yeah?
Well, yeah, they shouldn't. They're sitting where they are at the top of the league, Dan. They shouldn't lose the league this year. I think it'll be an almighty collapse from them. Yes, Sevilla are good. Yes, Real Betis are good. But really, when Real Madrid are sitting top with points in hand, they normally get better after the new year. They normally improve and expect them to win La Liga with the opposition around them. Champions League is a different scenario, of course. They've got Elche in the Copa del Rey. They'll have a great chance of that with Athletic playing Barcelona in the next round. So they've got a good opportunity there. I don't expect them to win the Champions League, but I expect more silverware this year from Real Madrid.
What do you expect from them against PSG, Maka?
I'm like you, I'm like Ali. We all don't know what PSG are going to turn up on the day. I think Madrid know their best 11 now. I think Madrid have a style of play, so they can trouble PSG. It's just you don't know what you're going to get with PSG. One day they're magnificent, the next day they're awful. Is Messi, Neymar and Mbappe going to play? Will Sergio Ramos play? Sometimes they're all over the place and look as if they're going to concede all the time. Other times they're magnificent. So I don't know what we're going to get. Are we going to get the Paris Saint-Germain that beat Man City in Paris? Or are we going to get a completely disorganised Paris Saint-Germain? So either way, I still don't think they're strong enough, Paris Saint-Germain or Real Madrid, to trouble the likes of Bayern Munich or the English team still left in the competition.
Stephen Manaman, as always, thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, boys. Missed you all.
Happiest man alive. There was no extra time. Cheers, Maka. Appreciate it, as always. That means now Real Madrid with 12 Super Cup winners, just one behind Barcelona. Thank you, Ali. You're free to go now. I tell you what, look at this lineup for the Copa del Rey. Then all those teams that are involved in the Supercopa then will be involved in the Spanish Cup this week. Real Sociedad against Atletico Madrid on Wednesday. Thursday, Elche against Real Madrid. It's Athletic Club against Barcelona. All of these games available on ESPN+.
Surprise is if he ever misses, and he doesn't.
La Liga then continues this week as well. Two games for you on Tuesday. The standout tie, though, is on Wednesday, isn't it? Mestalla, Valencia against Sevilla. 3 o'clock. All of these matches on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
As promised, look who's here.
Hello. Oh.
Hello, Stephen. Let's start, shall we, by focusing on Liverpool against Brentford. Obviously, after that 0-0 draw against Arsenal, question marks as to whether or not Liverpool would ever score a goal again. They would just before the break. Fabinho with a header to make it 1-0.
Yeah, you've got to question the defending here from Brentford. The ball bounces from a corner in the six-yard box, but Fabinho, nice header home.
Into the second half we go. Oxlade-Chamberlain making the most of a rare start. Nice finish.
Yeah, he does well here because, in my opinion, the defender's going to head this ball away. I still can't figure out why he doesn't, but that's why you have to credit Alexander, the Ox, I should say, for concentrating and putting it home.
And then this would happen.
Yeah, a disaster. I mean, three goals pretty much that are avoidable, but again, you've got to give credit where it's due. Liverpool put Brentford under pressure. Again there, Firmino puts them under pressure and they get the goal.
So it finishes Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Taking a look at what that means. Liverpool up into second now, of course, after City's win against Chelsea. City remain 11 points ahead of Liverpool in second, but Liverpool do have a game in hand as we welcome in Shaka Hislop and Donna Hutchinson. You're right, Shaq, there you are. Yes, you're on. Before we hear from the boys, Stevie, is this just a case of ticking off a game in which you didn't have Mane and Salah and moving on?
Oh, 100%.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, Listen, I was getting a little worried towards half time when you think again the possession that Liverpool had in this game, just as much as they had against Arsenal, and couldn't crack the nut. But as soon as the goal went in, I think the game was pretty much much over. Yes, Brentford made mistakes defensively, but that was because of the pressure Liverpool put on them for 90 minutes. So, yeah, tick it off. No Salah, no Mane, and you still get three goals.
It's difficult, really, to draw any more conclusions than that, really, Don, to this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them. I mean, it was a better team. I think Curtis Jones in the middle of the park and Oxlade-Chamberlain higher up give Liverpool more energy than they had, I think, in the cup match against Arsenal. It seemed a better lineup to me. It seemed as though they had more energy. And when Arsenal had to defend for so long with 10 men and put a low block on, it was one of them games where you think we'll never score. And then I think Brentford copied the same sort of tactics. I thought away at Anfield, let's stay in the game. They had one or two opportunities with Bueno and Ivan Toney at the top end of the pitch. But Stevie's right. It's one of them where you chalk the game off, you take 3 points, good performances, individuals play quite well, and you count down the days now since Sadio Mane and Mo Salah come back.
Hey, Shaka, Liverpool win their game in hand. It's only 8 points between them and City at the top of the table. There's a title race.
Is there? Okay, I'll take your word for it, Dan.
I'm trying.
Listen, I'm as good as City have been and Liverpool have shown during the course of the season, as convincing a win as this turned out to be, the missing of Salah and Mane couldn't have been more evident. I'm like Stevie, despite Liverpool's early dominance over Brentford, I just didn't think they'd score. And then Fabinho pops up and the second half kind of pans out as it does. But goodness me, for all their football, for all their possession, I just didn't think that they threatened Brentford in a way that I would expect.
In the end, as Fabinho scored, it turned out to be a comfortable victory for Liverpool. The game of the day in the Premier League, no doubt about it. Leeds taking on West Ham. This was an absolute cracker. Leeds would take the lead after just 10 minutes. Henning plays the ball ahead. Forshaw lays it off into Jack Harrison, who would make it 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you've just got to be in the right place at the right time. And that's just a good strike from Jack Harrison. He had to go through some bodies, but he did that.
We expected a response from West Ham, and it would come. Jared Bowen in form with another goal, 1-1.
Yeah, West Ham's a team that just don't stop. You know, from the first minute to the last, they keep going, so you better be ready for it.
What was a surprise, though, was the instant response from Leeds as Harrison gets his second.
Again, he's just in the right place at the right time, follows it in, it comes off his thigh, I think.
However, 7 minutes into the second half, once again, West Ham with the equaliser, this time for Niles.
Yeah, good individual goal, coming inside here, and then picks his spot. Again, no surprise, this side just doesn't give up.
This, of course, the Leeds team decimated through injuries, and you thought once it was 2-2, then West Ham would kick on. But no, as Jack Harrison, in some style, gets his hat-trick.
Yeah. Beautiful composure from Harrison. Should never have had that much time and space, but he certainly used it well.
3-2 then, in injury time. What a chance this is for Bowen.
You know, he's had to make a quick decision. He decides to try and chest it in, but unfortunately for him, puts it straight over the crossbar.
So that finishes Leeds 3, West Ham 2. What a great game, Shaka.
It really was. And listen, I thought Leeds were simply outstanding. They dominated the early exchanges, rightfully went ahead. Then West Ham only started to play after Leeds went 1-0. And then you mentioned Leeds' injury problems. They had to make two more substitutions early on because of injuries. And it never knocked them off their stride. And as good as West Ham have been in coming from behind this season, I thought Leeds just continued to be good. Despite the mischance from Bowen at the end, keep in mind that Leeds had a goal ruled out for offside after it hit Rodrigo on the goal line on its way in. And in all honesty, if you're West Ham, you cannot complain. You can look at that missed Bowen chance at the end, Bowen who's been in absolute incredible form. But the truth is, over the course of 90 minutes, Leeds were the better team, and you have to take your hat off to them. I think this was more about Leeds, how good they are, how well they've adjusted, not complained about their injury issues, just got on with the job, and deservedly take the 3 points.
You know, you've got to give Bielsa credit, because we all criticise the way Leeds play because they leave themselves far too wide open. But when it comes to a situation like this where they do have injuries and they have to use the limited squad they have, there's no question of changing.
Right.
Every single person, regardless of whether he's 16, 17, 20, whatever it is, knows exactly what to do. And that's why they can go to a place like West Ham and produce this kind of performance. So in some ways, you've got to give Bielsa credit. But again, they are a little bit open.
Yeah, got to be disappointing, though, from a West Ham perspective, Don, given Manchester United are rubbish, obviously Arsenal and Spurs, their game not going ahead today. It was a chance to really solidify a place in the top four and a chance that they missed.
To be honest, Dan, before the game, after beating them in the cup, I thought West Ham would have beat Leeds. But I agree with the lads just very quickly on Bielsa, who was quite emotional after the game. And have a little look at the bench when the North London derby was called off. And Bielsa picked the side, and take a look at his bench. The majority of them teenagers. Archie Gray, 15 years of age on the bench. And Bielsa got interviewed after the game and he said, "These young kids are working hard for me. There's no moaning. We're not feeling sorry for ourselves. We don't want any games called off. We want to play the games." But for David Moyes, that was disappointing. They weren't very good at the back, but credit Leeds. I thought Jack Harrison, I thought Dan James, Rafinha, I thought at times tore them apart. David Moyes moaned after the game, rightly or wrongly, that the Norwich game was sort of squeezed in midweek, so they felt a little bit leggy. I don't necessarily agree with that. I thought Leeds were the better team. But that was a chance missed. When you see Man United drop points yesterday and Arsenal and Tottenham not really going through the gears in the last round of games, I know that the North London derby was called off. So you think West Ham, massive, massive chance to take 3 points and try and get away from Man United and try and bury Man United, thinking, well, that's one big horse completely gone. Big chance missed.
Significant win, though, for Leeds in their plight to stay up this season. Moves them up to 15th in the table, 9 points ahead of Norwich City, of course, moved up to 18th after that victory against Everton. A victory that would be Rafa Benitez's final game in charge of the Toffees. He was sacked today. Don, who on earth could have seen this coming?
I've no idea. Absolute mystery, wasn't it? I mean, dear me. I mean, it was never an appointment. I told you it would end in tears.
You did, Don, many times.
200 days he lasted. But it was obvious, Dan. I mean, it was so obvious. It was never going to work. And it wasn't anything to do, really, with the fact that he's managed Liverpool. That wasn't where I was going for. I've done it. I've played for Liverpool. I've played for Everton. So I wasn't leaning on, oh, that's the reason why he's going to get sacked. He's a defensive manager. His record actually at Newcastle wasn't actually that great. Steve Bruce was on a par with him at times. And you can't be a manager of Everton where you've got one win in about 2.5 months. And the game against Norwich, it was one of them games before the game, you go, if Everton don't beat Norwich, who have not scored in about 5 games and shipped about 20-odd goals, they are bang in trouble. And you look at the lineup and you see Richarlison on the bench and Ross Townsend on the bench. Marcel Brands left about 10 days ago. Luca Dean then has a pop at the manager who left about 4 days ago. Then all of a sudden, Everton fire the manager. It's just an absolute mess at the moment.
Let's take a look then at who is the favourite to replace him. You're on digital today, so you're saying you think it should be Wayne Rooney.
I am sorry. How Wayne's name... Well, I shouldn't say that. It's clear why. Because he played for Everton, legend of Everton. But really, that's why you get a job. I mean, did he not look across at his old club, Man United, at Ollie? I mean, there's no way on this earth that Wayne Rooney has enough experience in management to go and manage a club the size of Everton. Absolutely zero. And I can tell you that from being in the same situation.
Right.
I managed myself for 6 months. And if somebody had turned round to me after that 6 months and said, oh, hey, we want you to go to Everton or Liverpool, I'd have been like, ah, are you kidding? I would have no chance. Wayne Rooney will have no chance.
You struggle to manage yourself now, to be
exactly
fair.
Exactly, there you go.
Don, who would you like to see in charge of your new team? Old team, sorry.
There's only one man. There's only one man for me, Dan. It's Graham Potter. Now, I know everyone will say, why would he leave Brighton to go to Everton? I get that. But I get the feeling with Graham Potter, having watched the way he manages, the way he improves players, he wouldn't even have to spend too much at Everton to try and get Everton in the top 10. They need to pick carefully the next manager. Now, it might be Duncan for the next couple of weeks, Duncan Ferguson. It might even be a chance to give Duncan Ferguson the job till the end of the season. If he does it really well and he manages well and he shows his skills and he's you know, he proves that he can do the job, then he might be a contender. But I think in terms of a manager that could take Everton on, I think it's Graham Potter. The noises I was hearing from inside the club before Rafa Benitez got appointed, it was the first time there's been a split at boardroom level. Farhad Moshiri wanted Rafa Benitez and Bill Kenwright had wanted Roberto Martinez, and that was the split. And Farhad Moshiri being the majority owner, he got his way, went for Rafa, and never worked. So it wouldn't surprise me if Martinez was the favourite, but I would go for Graham Potter.
If you want to hear one of the most boring fan interaction anecdotes, be sure to check out Extra Time today with Stevie Nicol. He's back. That's Frank's fee from yesterday. Extra Time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. What a day in the Africa Cup of Nations in Group E. We saw Ivory Coast. It looked like they were cruising to their second win of the competition, 2-1 up. But then late on, a goalkeeping howler saw Sierra Leone get the equaliser as it would finish 2-2. Meanwhile, for Algeria, over 30 matches unbeaten going into their clash with Equatorial Guinea. But it's Equatorial Guinea who got a 1-0 victory, leaving Algeria in big, big trouble. They need a result against Ivory Coast to guarantee a place in the next round. For more on this, let's welcome in Julien Laurent. Let's start off with Algeria, of course. Many, for them, the favourites to go on all the way in this tournament. How did this happen?
Yeah, the holders, Dan, and we saw them not struggling in the first game against Sierra Leone, but certainly having a lot of chances, not being clinical enough, and themselves conceded a couple of half chances. So we knew not everything was just perfect. We just thought that that was the opening game, and that this second game, where they were hugely favourite against a team that is nowhere near as good, certainly in terms of talent, as this Algeria squad, and that they would really kickstart the tournament now. And it was the complete opposite. It was the worst game in terms of performance from Algeria than the first one. They lacked creativity, they lacked rhythm, they lacked a lot of things. And Equatorial Guinea, to be fair, were probably the better side and completely deserved that, because they were bold, they defended well, of course, and deep, but that's the plan against a team that is better than you with the ball. And that their plan worked so well, and Algeria can still qualify, of course, but they will have to beat Ivory Coast, who could be with a third goalkeeper by then. But still, it's not a given at all, and the holders could be out.
You mentioned then Ivory Coast. That ending, Jules.
I mean, it's just incredible. At that time of the game, a game that Ivory Coast really have controlled more or less pretty well, and they were in the lead, a lead that would have sent them through already. Whereas now, they're not qualified at all. And Sangare, who is their second goalkeeper, because they were the first one, just fumbles the ball. I think fumble is the perfect word, almost like in American football, really, when sometimes when you hit the ground with the ball escapes you. And that's exactly what happens. I don't even know how he got himself in that position in the first place, to be fair. And then Stephen Colker, the former England international who now plays for Sierra Leone, with the assist, Camara with the goal, and the whole game turned it upside down completely, but an incredible finale.
Yeah, that Group E is so tight. It really is, as you say, Jules, all to play for. Meanwhile, Benjamin Tete in big trouble, of course, being served a 3-match ban after what went on in the Gabon-Ghana game. Just give us the context to this ban and what led up to it, Jules.
Yeah, right at the end, I mean, Tete has just come on, really, only for a few minutes in the game, and the game was quite feisty, to be fair, between the two with the equaliser from Gabon, and then there was a brawl right at the end, and Tete arrived on the side and threw a punch, actually two, if you look at the video, before making himself really quiet and almost disappear, but the referee, the Argentine referee, saw it. I think that's probably help from VAR too. He was obviously sent off and now banned an extra game, really, to the two that he would have had normally. And yeah, I think even three is quite kind for the punch that he threw and the whole craziness of the brawl. So I think three, obviously, is AFCON is pretty much over, depending on how far Ghana go. But it could have been worse for him. So I think he could even be a bit lucky there.
Yeah, of course, that all stemming from the fact that when the ball went out, it wasn't thrown back after they kicked out for an injury. Really quite something. Let's just remind you how the Group F looks after today. Gambia with a 1-1 draw against Mali. Meanwhile, Tunisia with a 4-0 victory to register their first win. Those top three looking good, aren't they, to advance to the next round. Monday's games on Monday. We've got two games on Monday. Burkina Faso taking on Ethiopia, and Cape Verde Islands take on Cameroon. Meanwhile, Jules, as we've got you with us, it's the first time we've had the opportunity to discuss Kylian Mbappe, with this story now that he's willing to open contract talks with PSG.
Yeah, that's right. Although that's the story that certainly has been written the last few days. The fact is that they've kept talking, the Mbappe family and Leonardo and Nasser Al Khelaifi and PSG for the last few weeks. The talks have never been broken. It's just that now, certainly within the club, they've got a feeling that he's more open to maybe extending just for a short term. It could be a year, so he's still free in a year time, but at least has another season with the club. He's six, or even 2 years maybe, just to stay one more and then get a bit of money for the club before going in summer 2023. But certainly for when they used to be a little bit optimistic and having a little hope that maybe this could happen, now they seem a bit more hopeful. So we'll have to see. He keeps saying, and we've been brief as well, that he will only make a decision at the end of the season, that he wants to focus completely on the next 4 months now, especially the Champions League against Real Madrid, which is the irony. But it feels that certainly within the club that there's more and more chances that maybe they will get him to extend.
This is a club, let's not forget, though, Jules, that turned down a €200 million bid from Real Madrid in the summer. So if he's looking to give the club a little bit of money, why would they change kind of their policy that they were never going to sell him?
That's right. I think what happened last summer, and remember how many shows, I don't know how many shows we did, every time we had some more news and going back a lot, maybe too many, they didn't feel that it was done the right way to start with, and two, that it was the right time for them with the arrival of Messi only a few weeks earlier. I think if the agreement between the club and Mbappe and the Mbappe family is that, okay, you give us another year, if it's only a 1 year extension, then you're free to go in the summer 2023 and you can go wherever you want, and we won't try to keep you again. Or if you sign a 2 year extension, then we agree to let you go after 1 year, maybe have a clause there for X amount of millions to let you go, that they agree with the Mbappe clan, that is not too high, that Real Madrid can easily pay, I don't know, 25, 30, whatever they want, whatever they agree on. But there's that agreement that whatever happens, he will still be allowed to go in the summer 2023. And I can see why maybe he could be tempted, especially I think if maybe there's a change of managers at PSG and Zinedine Zidane comes in. And Zinedine Zidane is someone that I think Kylian Mbappe has a lot of admiration for, and I think would love to work under at some point in his career. So I think there's a few things that PSG believe now are in their camp. And if you listen to Real Madrid, they're still convinced that Mbappe will sign this summer, coming for nothing, that he will arrive as a free agent. So again, I think we need to wait a bit. But PSG certainly believing now that he's opened the door a little bit, maybe for an extension.
Great stuff, Jules. As always, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast will drop on Monday. You can check that out over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The big game in Italy today would finish goalless. Atalanta 0, Inter Milan 0. Just taking a look at how that affects the table in Italy. Well, Inter remain top of the table, two clear of Milan. For Atalanta, that point then puts them back into fourth on their own, one clear of Juventus. Don, who's the happier of the two teams out of this result?
I think Inter, to be honest, Dan, even though they've won 8 on the spin before the game, 13 unbeaten, but being away from home in Bergamo against Atalanta, who can, you know, put 4 or 5s past anyone, I think Inter will take a point on the road. To answer your question, I think Milan are happy. I think Napoli are happy because they both play tomorrow. And also Juve, Max Allegri's men, they're just edging towards maybe getting into a top four spot where 3 or 4 months ago I thought top four was impossible. But it was a decent game to watch. It wasn't a four draw, nil-nil, where you think nothing's happened. Both coaches made so many changes. Dzeko had a great chance towards the end. Muriel had a chance for Atalanta. D'Ambrosio, right to the death, probably should have scored. But I think, in fair, I think a draw was the right result. It just wasn't a classic.
Despite the door being open slightly, as you say, for those chasing Inter at the top of the table, they remain solid favourites.
I think so, Dan. I think they're the best side in Serie A. They have been for quite a while, as I said. They racked up 8 wins on the spin before this game, unbeaten in 13. They've got a squad that's well capable. They've got a manager, they've got a good system. The back three never really changes, or the system certainly doesn't. Handanovic has played really well. He's under pressure now from Onana, who's just come in. Handanovic is on a free transfer in the summer, so it'll be interesting to see if anyone takes him or he stays at Inter. But in terms of them being favourites, I would say so.
Great stuff as always, Don. Just a reminder, you can always download our daily podcast. It's available over on the website. Not only is the audio version of the show, there's plenty of bonus material for you to consume as well. That's it. Thank you very much, guys. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra time is next. Some interesting questions, especially about whether or not, Steve, you got any royalties from the Anfield rap. If you've never heard of it, YouTube it. It's quite something. Stay tuned, though. Extra time next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie with me here in the studio. And look at this for a lineup: Shaka, Hislop, Don Hutchinson, and Julian Laurent. Jules, did I see you were in a pub quiz today?
Last night, yeah. And we went to not pub quiz. It's like they do those huge quiz in a place near where we live, a musical quiz. And we went last night. It was really good.
Tell everybody the name of your team.
Yeah, Murder on the Dance Floor.
Yes, of course, you know. Love it.
Mrs. L coming up with the name. Brilliant name.
For Jules, are PSG good enough to beat Real Madrid over two legs in the Champions League? Oh, look what we're asking. Well,
how long do we have? No. Listen, I'm going to try to be objective and not biased. Of course we are. No, I'm kidding. right now, it's hard to see how the biggest asset that this Real Madrid team has, which is this incredible attacking transition football that we saw again in the Super Cup final tonight, where Modric scores when they're 4 against 9 on attacking transition, on offensive transition. And PSG, their worst quality, their biggest flaw really is not to defend defensive transitions. So you could see easily Real Madrid being capable, very able, or very likely to hit PSG really hard on those really quick counter attacks. Unless PSG in the next 4 weeks manage to improve massively on how to defend against counter-attacking football and maybe can keep the ball a bit longer. I don't see how, over two legs, they can stop Benzema and Vinicius and Modric and all the others. However, when you've got Mbappe, Messi and Neymar will now quite likely be back certainly for the second leg. Of course, anything is always possible, but Real Madrid have to be the favourite.
On the Real Madrid subject, Stevie, how good a midfielder is Luka Modric? Even at 36, plays every weekend at such a high level with consistency. Of course, man of the match today in the Spanish Super Cup.
I guess if you were picking a... if you had the choice of picking your best 11 in the planet right now, you would have to consider picking him in it at 36 years of age.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The game is slow for him. He's... the experience he has and the way he sees the game is at a far less speed than your normal player.
Yeah.
So he has more time on the ball, can have a little look around, pick his pass, just makes it look dead easy.
Shaka, should Chelsea be worried about a top four finish with teams below having games in hand?
Right now, I don't think so. City, Chelsea, City and Liverpool finished top two. Chelsea there, and despite the games in hand that Spurs especially and United have, and even Chelsea in this what to me looks like their worst spell of the season so far, I don't think Manchester United or Spurs or Arsenal for that matter are better than Chelsea. So I'm not that panicked. If I'm Chelsea, I'm not that panicked about our top four finish.
What about your West Ham, Shank?
I said a few weeks ago, I think defensive injuries are going to come back to haunt them. Certainly as far as a top four finish is concerned, I just don't see it happening.
Don, was Stevie ultimately right about Lukaku?
No, I like Lukaku. I do. I know Stevie's got a little beef with him. He's not in great form. He's said some choice words over the last few weeks. He had a nightmare against City. Didn't play well at all. But the version that I saw at Inter, no one could live with him. He bullied everyone on the pitch. He was incredible in Serie A. I have no idea what's happening.
What does that tell you, the Serie A? Listen, I don't have a beef with him, Don. I'm just saying that he's a guy that will score 20 goals a season. But when it comes to games like the other day against Man City, when he has the opportunity to put his name in lights in the big game and the big moment, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. That's all I'm saying. I don't have a beef with the guy.
The guy's as good as
the majority of the centre-forwards in the league, but when it comes to the big moment, he's never done it.
Yeah, but he was the reason Inter won Serie A last season.
But that's what I'm saying.
What does that tell you about Serie A?
No? Well, you don't want... Sorry, it doesn't... Dan doesn't like that question because he doesn't want to answer it.
Isn't that just too easy?
No, it's not. Look at the facts, Dan. Belgium, right?
Yes.
Big games. Has he ever put... Belgium have got to quarters and semis, right? So when you get there, you need your centre-forward to be that difference maker.
Right.
He's never done that. I think about Inter. You're saying that, he bullied everybody at Inter. Well, guess what? They never got through the Champions League group, and the very man we're talking about had an opportunity with the last kick of the last game to get through, and he missed it.
Your memory, Steve, with Lukaku is incredible.
I mean, I'm just...
He's got a beef. He's got a beef with Lukaku.
I've got no beef with him.
The thing is, I don't need to have a memory because he brings it up. Don's bring it up. Everybody brings it up to me, so I don't need to bother having a memory.
Stevie's got no memory.
Shaka, what was your question?
Shaka, although West Ham didn't get the win, how good was Meslier in goal for Leeds? Is he underrated?
Meslier has been good. I think he's been inconsistent, though. I think there are times he's brilliant, but at times he just looks as though not necessarily a loss in confidence, But it just seems like almost like a day caught in headlights sometimes. Like he's still getting used to playing at this level. But then there are times when he looks totally comfortable. So I find that really odd about him in particular. But yes, he was good. I'll be honest, Leeds were good against West Ham and fully deserving of the 3 points.
Jackie, he's only like 21 or something, right?
Yeah. So he's got geography tomorrow morning.
He's very young.
He's French.
Absolutely. I get that. He's young, coming into... All right, he's come through the championship. But there are times... And as though... And why I make that point is, when I look at him, it's not as though he's taking a knock in confidence. It's just as though he seems like... almost surprised that he's here, you know, that he's playing at this level, which is different in terms of his body language.
Jules?
Well, I mean, we've got high hopes for him in France, for sure. But I understand why Xhaka is saying, and he's made mistakes this season. I mean, I don't think he got it easy, considering how bad defensively, mostly due to all the injuries and suspensions and COVID that Leeds have had all season. But at times, he was making eight saves, but still was conceding 7 goals against City, for example. So I think there's a point where it's difficult, especially for a young keeper, to be able to stay consistent and have those incredible games and great performances when defensively your shambles, but I think he's improving, and certainly we've got big hopes for him in France.
On extra time, a couple of days ago, Stevie was asked who would he start, who would he bench, who would he sell between Robbo, Don and Craig. Don would be the player that you would sell, Stevie, yes? Because you said he's a very sellable asset, given all the clubs that bought him in the past, which led us to this question. Question for Don, the sellable asset, Hutchinson. Since Don signed for 38 different clubs during his career, did he receive a signing-on bonus every time?
I think so. I mean, my memory's not as good as Stevie's on Lukaku, but I think so. I have to forfeit one or two because clubs sort of know when they're sort of doing a deal, when they're trying to sell you on, and they know a bigger club or a club's come in with a record transfer fee, so they know you want to leave, so they try it on. But in terms of the buying club, you certainly negotiate your signing on fees into your buying club. You normally have a clause in your contract where you're leaving as well. You try to get as much money from the leaving club as well, but sometimes that never works out.
Do we mention the divorce now, Don, or not?
No, I'm trying to park that one, Dan, to be honest.
I was going to.
I'm trying to park that to one side. I'm trying to erase that from my memory. Never happened.
Happy birthday to your eldest, Don, yeah? He's 21 today?
Yay! 21 today!
Fantastic. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. Well, he got the option of a 7 grand watch or 2,100 for 21 and a 3 grand ISA.
What?
I went for the latter.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. There you go.
7 grand watch.
Why didn't you just get the watch and sell it?
Don't see this.
Hey, Don.
Well, buy a watch for 7 grand and sell it for 6. I mean, that's only the maths that I would do.
No, but if you're buying it, I'm still making more money from selling a watch than I would be taking an ISA or 2100.
I mean, dear me, Dan. I mean, it's his 21st birthday. You've absolutely killed him. I mean, he's supposed to be having a good day.
Yeah, like a savings. It's like a savings bond.
Oh, yeah, 21-year-old wants a savings bond, doesn't he? Yeah, right.
Well, that's can't be bowling around with a watch on at 21.
Well, don't offer him a watch then. Yeah, here's a watch.
Don't wear it at 21.
What options are these?
I'm getting your watch, but I don't want you walking around with it on, right?
Wow, Don.
Keep getting
that's why I didn't get it. That's why I didn't get it, Steve.
Well, because So he didn't choose it, though.
Oh, my God.
No, he weren't really into it. He said, no, I'm not really a watch person. Not bothered.
There you are. Stevie, did you do similar for your son on his 21st?
Aye. Yeah. He got new underpants and socks.
<Yeah. laughs> Stevie, do you still get royalty checks for Anfield Rap?
A royalty check. Do you know how much we got? Do you know how much we made out of that record?
No.
This record got to number 2 in the charts.
Yes.
Now, to get number 2, I think you got to sell like 300,000 in the space of a week.
Right.
We got £100 each. and that was it.
Wow.
Oh, you are rocked.
We got 100 quid
done over. Yeah. Should have got a watch.
I'll tell you what, we had a good view.
Stevie, there's a channel over here. There's a channel over here that you get free on your TV, and I've got it in the kitchen, and it's like absolute 80s. And it's music videos of the 80s. Now, just put it on in the kitchen, just for background noise. I promise you, mate, it's on every single day or every other day.
Wow. What line can you remember from it?
Well, the Scottish boys. So everybody, we got split into different bits.
Okay.
Well, Highland lads, okay, the new. There's four of us and only two of you.
Hey, very good. You got 100 quid. I'm going to take that to the run.
It's not bad. What, 20 100, quid for every one?
100 quid for that.
Final question. Do you guys get recognised in public? Any funny, awkward fan encounters? Shaka, I imagine toilets, bathrooms. That's got to be awkward, hasn't it, when you used to play and get recognised?
Well, that happened to me once. I was doing the studio for a game at Pompey. I'm trying to remember who was alongside me. Went to the bathroom at halftime, and for some reason, people decided to film us on their phones.
Oh, lovely!
Using the bathroom. That was awkward. That was odd.
What about you, Stevie?
I don't get that.
I had one a Friday night. I went to this dinner and dance, right? And it was about 1:30 in the morning.
Yep.
And I'm in the toilet, and this guy comes in, right? And we're standing there, and he says, he goes, "You playing tomorrow?" And I went, "Of course I am." He went, "Really?" I went, "Of course I am." I said, "I've only had a couple of pints. No problems like that." He said, "You know, at half time. What do you do at half time?" I goes, "Well, we just go in, have a seat, get a cup of tea and a pie. Depending on what you want, or a sausage roll." Or... I said, "And then get back out." And he's like, "Ah, really?" I went, "Aye." He just shook his head and walked off. He actually believed me.
That's the story.
He actually believed
me. I thought something interesting was going to happen.
Well, he actually believed. So he actually believed.
Stevie, of all the stories you tell, that's the worst.
Yeah, but he actually believed that on a Friday night you were going out to 1:30 in the morning, having a few beers, and then at half time you'd have a cup of tea and a pie and a sausage roll.
Right.
He actually believed that.
Yeah. That's the best fan interaction you've had. The man I was going to ask.
Can I tell my story?
I'll tell you the one about the guy Stevie under the table. Will I tell you that?
I don't know. Are you allowed to tell that?
No.
Well, then don't bring it up. Go on, Jack.
No, just saying. Can I tell my story after Stevie next time? Yes. Stevie's bar's low.
Yeah, exactly.
Any story's a good story after Stevie's story.
Don, do you have a good one?
Yeah, see, mine's a weird one. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was heavily into sort of going to the gym and trying to keep fit. And let's just say there was a West Ham fan in there who was pretty lively back in the 80s on the terraces. And he kept shouting over the gym, and he kept shouting towards me, and he kept shouting, "Glenn! Glenn!" And I was going, looking at him thinking, "Can't be talking to me. Surely he can't be talking to me." It happened every single day for about a month. But the guy, I promise you, Dan, obviously he's like a bodybuilder. He's massive. Everyone knows him in the area as being a bit of a lad from back in the day. You wouldn't mess with him. I was going to the gym for 7 years and he was calling me Glenn for 7 years, and I never had the bottle to turn around and go, "Just to let you know, mate, my name's Dom." And then I was trying to wrap my brain thinking, how many Glens have played for West Ham? And I could only think of Glenn Johnson and Glenn Roeder.
Right.
And I was thinking...
No, I don't think either of those.
So at the end of it, he was going, "Glenn!" And I was going, "Yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah, you're right, yeah."
Very good, very good. Thank you very much, guys. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to Jules, to Shaka, to Stevie and to Glenn. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Brainstorm. What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Microwave. Air conditioning. What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.